I'm Amy Hall. I'm here with Greg Kokel, and you're listening to Hashtag STR Ask. And this is the podcast where we take your questions on Twitter or through our website, and you just send those with the hashtag STR Ask, all one word, and then we'll consider your question. So today, Greg,
okay,
we're going to start off with there are actually two questions that are very closely related, but I'll give you the first one, then the second one comes at it from a slightly different angle. We'll see what you have to say. The first one comes from Tom, and he asks, is it ever okay for a Christian to read other religious materials such as the Quran or Hindu teachings to gain a better understanding to properly evangelize with them?
I don't see any reason why it would not be okay. There is no prohibition in Scripture. It's clear that Paul himself read the Epicurean prophets, philosophers, he quoted from them on Mars Hill. He was familiar with the works of the Greeks. He had a Greek education as well as a Jewish education. So there was no intimation that there's anything inappropriate about that. Now, a qualification needs to be made, and that is this is for the purpose of a deeper understanding of a false view, not to glean truths that might apply to our lives. All right? Now, I had a friend many years ago. He's gone now, but he was one of the most prolific writers in the cults and the occult. His name was John Weldon. And John and I were roommates or housemates back in 1974 or 75, I guess. Poor John. Oh, he had a huge library of all of these books that he had to pour through for all of his writings. And he wrote more than 50 books, but he seemed like he was always in a dark place because he was so immersed in these things. I don't know about Walter Martin, who had a lot of immersion in that too, but I don't think he immersed himself in the kinds of dark things and the variety of things as John Weldon did. And so there are liabilities, I think, to being exposed too much to this stuff. Now, about 5 or 6 or 8 years ago, lose track of time here, I wrote a piece, Solid Ground, about Mormonism. And the question was, is Mormonism a Christian denomination, a denomination of Christianity? That was the only question. I wasn't even asking if it was true or false, but given the teachings of Mormonism and classical Christianity, is there kinship between them? Of course, my conclusion was no, but what I had to do in order to properly represent the view is I had to use LDS published material, Deseret Press. This case, it was LDS Beliefs. It's the closest thing they have to a systematic theology. In order to accurately represent the views and then answer the question, is this really a Christian denomination? And so I bought the book and I read many of the passages that were pertaining to the issues. And some people will read more in the Doctrine of Covenants or the Pearl of Great Price or the Book of Mormon. These are all the publications of a false religion. All right. Now, by the way, I know that there might be some who are thinking, wait a minute, they're Christian. They believe in Jesus. To which I have a question. Are Muslims Christian? No, of course not. Well, they believe in Jesus. They believe in the Jesus of the Quran. And Mormons believe in the Jesus of their publications, all right? And then they read that Jesus back into the Bible. So they have a different Jesus. It's clear that if you look at the details, all right? And if they have a different Jesus and a different God, and a different spirit, and different prophets, and a different doctrine of salvation, then they're not Christian. They are really super nice people, generally, when you engage them. And for the sake of discussion, their view may be correct. That's not what I'm addressing here. I'm just asking whether it's Christian, and the answer is no. They explicitly repudiate Nicaea, which is the foundational church council that establishes the basics of Christianity. So I only use that as an illustration that I wrote Solid Ground, and I was able to do so by using the primary source documents of a religion I consider to be false. And if I were writing on other issues, well, in fact, we did. When we did the critique of Matthew Shepard's program, his conference on the Reformation Project, Alan and it turned out Sean McDowell, the two of them went to the conference on the East Coast and sat through the whole thing. So they're imbibing that material, and we had to use that material to do our critique on the Solid Ground in two issues of Matthew Vine's material on pro-homosexuality in the church. That's kind of his unique approach. So those are examples right off the top of my head when I've had to work with foreign material, and that was the source material in order to critique it. If you don't go into the source material, it's going to be very difficult to critique those things. And I see no biblical reason not to do it, as long as you're doing it for that purpose and you're not doing it to get some truth from it and to augment your life in some eclectic manner. That would not be a good idea.
I think you might need to know yourself a little bit, too. Is this something that you are tempted by, that you would be tempted to take in ideas from and change your life with it? Are you how do you respond to it? How do you respond to the darkness? Do you have someone to walk through it with you? Do you have someone to keep you accountable? I think you just need to know yourself and know how far you should go into these things. But I will say that for me personally, the reason why I love to read Mormon writings is because the contrast between their theology and Christian theology is so profound that I always end up worshiping God, and it makes me appreciate the gospel and God and the true view of him so much. It causes me to worship because by contrast, I see what they have and I see that it is missing so many beautiful things. So it makes me worship the true God, but it also increases my desire to talk to them, because I think sometimes we forget how different our worldview is from other people's worldviews. And we don't see the kind of despair they're in. In the case of Mormons, not having the true gospel and having only laws that they have to fulfill in order to reach whatever goal they're trying to reach, and not having a full understanding of God, I look at that and it makes me want to reach out to them and desire to help them and to love them and to want to help them. So in those ways, I think it has been really good for me. Now, maybe I wouldn't feel that way about some other things. That's certainly possible. Maybe God has just given this gift to me for a purpose. So that's why I say you kind of have to know yourself. Sure. And see how you respond.
Yeah, I have a close friend for many years. We're not so much in touch anymore for geographic reasons. But she has embraced a lot of the Tony Robbins stuff and gone to his seminars and walked on coals and all that other stuff. Now, to me, this is a very different kind of circumstance, and it represents a contrast to what we're talking about here. I think that what she's doing is a huge mistake, and because this is trying to glean some things that she will find helpful. And Tony Robbins does not have a Christian worldview. He has got a completely other worldview. And keep in mind, when people offer recommendations for living, they are offering recommendations from the perspective of their greater worldview. I see the world this way. My assessment of the world is this and the world's problems, and therefore I have a solution that will help you out. This is the standard creation, fall, redemption, restoration motif. All right. This is the way they view the world. Here's the thing that's wrong, the fall. It's religious terminology, but it just captures the point. Something's gone wrong. Here's how we started. Something went wrong. How do you fix went wrong? And what does it look like when the fix has taken place? Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. If you get creation and fall wrong, which Tony Robbins does, you're going to, redemption, restoration thing is going to be all wrong too. And that is not the kind of person that you can go and just kind of pick a few nice things about positive mental attitude or whatever. He offers an entire system. And so this by contrast of what we're describing is something you do not want to be doing, is going into these worldview systems attempting to glean something that might be good for you. Even the impulse to do that in that circumstance, to me, is evidence, I think, that the person doing so does not either understand the Christian worldview adequately or may not even be a Christian.
Mm-hmm. So that question from Tom was about, is it ever okay to read these materials?
Right.
Drew asks, should a Christian who witnesses to Mormons read the Book of Mormon in order to know what their book says? So he's saying, should you do it, not just, is it okay?
Well, in this case, you're probably a better person to answer this. My response is, Book of Mormon? No. And the reason is the Book of Mormon is not doctrinal, all right? And it is an alleged history of events that took place on the North American continent when Jesus visited here hundreds of years ago. Now, it's interesting to note, or helpful to note, that there's not a shred of evidence of any of the events that allegedly took place in the North American continent. Plus, keep in mind that in that account, there are horses pulling chariots. And if you're not aware, there were no horses in North America. They were introduced by the Spaniards. And there were no wheels. I didn't know that until just recently. Few years back. No wheels. No, they hadn't invented the wheel in North America. That also came from Europe. So there couldn't have been any chariots. So here is contrary evidence that makes it clear that this is not a sound historical account. But that's another issue. The point is, this isn't where the doctrine of Mormonism comes from. There's some odd things in there that are unique to Mormonism, but the key doctrines are from the Pearl of Great Price and the doctrines of covenant, and there's some other writings too where the doctrinal elements come through, all right? Knowing about their alleged history is not helpful. They do give a challenge, though, and this is where I think there's some deception going on, and that is that in order to verify the truth of Mormonism writ large, read the Book of Mormon and ask God to give you a testimony as to whether or not the Book of Mormon is true. So this is the main way they get people into their religion, a subjective test on the Book of Mormon, not an objective test. If you did that, you'd find out it isn't true because for the reasons I just mentioned. But it's subjective to get a burning in your bosom. And once you get that, now you've got your witness. Well, what's the witness of? The truth of the Book of Mormon. Well, you can't build Mormonism out of the Book of Mormon. You build Mormonism doctrinally out of other books. Why don't they have them read the Doctrine of Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price, for example, and then figure out and then pray? Well, that's a lot harder to do because of the substance, the doctrinal substance, theological substance in those books. And so this is where I think there's a little bit of a bait and switch going on, and I think this is, in fact, dishonest. But what the goal is to get you to read so that you can pray and have an experience. Now, I would encourage you not to read or pray. They're going to pressure you to do that. But the reason I say don't read or pray is because that is not the way to find out what is true. You don't ask God in the way that they're describing to give you a subjective affirmation in your heart that the Book of Mormon is true, especially when you have other means to assess its veracity. Now, I do think there is a prayer that's entirely legitimate, and I prayed it myself before I was a Christian. I asked God to show me the truth. And if the gospel that my brother was revealing to me and others was the truth, okay? And so there's an opening myself up. But what I'm not trying to get is a subjective feeling that verifies it. I was just looking for verification. And that came in my case, and it has for many others as well. But that's a very different circumstance than what people are asking, Mormons are asking regarding the Book of Mormon. But I've probably spoken beyond my ken here already. This is Amy's strength. So, Amos.
Well, just following along what you just said about not using their test for truth, what I would generally say to a Mormon is that I'm not going to use the Book of Mormon's test for truth if I don't know if the Book of Mormon is true. What I want to use is the biblical test for truth. And there are two tests that we get here, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament, that I think is a good reminder of what you can tell them here. The first one, Deuteronomy 13, says that if the person teaches a different God than the God of the Bible, then you're supposed to reject him. Here's what it says. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So that's the first thing. Do Mormons teach the same God of the Bible? Well, so that's the first one.
What's curious is the phrase dreamer of dreams, because Joseph Smith allegedly had these visions that were significant to forming the foundational concepts of LDS theology. And, I mean, dreamer of dreams, you know, that seems to fit, at least in a general fashion. But the key thing is a different God, and that is huge, because all these gods in Mormonism are finite gods. It's a polytheistic system, right?
Yes. They'll say we only worship one God, even though that doesn't really make sense to me, since they think Jesus is a God and the Holy Spirit is a God. But there are gods before them. There are gods that gave rise to our gods, and then people can become gods of their own world, etc. So yes, it is. There are many gods in their system. But the second one, so that the first test is it the same God as the God of the Bible? The second one is it the same gospel? Because here's what Paul says in Galatians 1, I think it's 8, yes. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. So those are the two tests, and that's where I always start with them. Well, why don't we look and see if the God of the Bible is the same as the God of Mormonism, and the God of the gospel, or the gospel of the Bible is the same as the gospel of Mormonism. So those are the two areas where I usually focus.
You know, there's a little tactical maneuver that might be used here, and that is, given their epistemology, in other words, their way of knowing the truth, which is through this testimony by reading the Book of Mormon, and I think that's faulty, and this is why, Amy, you've just given two objective criterion by which you can test Mormonism, not so much the Book of Mormon, because I don't know the Book of Mormon reveals any of the details that you just described. But in any event, their epistemology is having this feeling or this witness. And the questions that I would suggest is asking the LDS missionary this question. If I were your Mormon brother, and I was attracted to the woman next door, and I was married, and she was married, and I told her I prayed about having an affair with her, and I feel a peace about it, I feel a witness about it, so I think that God has given me permission to go ahead, what would you tell me? Now, of course, it's a ridiculous kind of scenario, because I don't think anyone would suggest that, but notice how I'm employing the same methodology to a clear case example of something that's wrong. Okay, but the question is, and this is the subtext of my own question to the LDS missionary, what makes it a clear case example of something wrong? So I suspect the missionaries could say, no, that's, you can't do that. It's wrong. How do you know it's wrong? Because the Bible has already revealed that that adultery is wrong. It's a violation of a commandment. Okay, right then, there's a shift. There's a shift in their epistemology. We went from a feelings-based epistemology to a biblically-based epistemology, what the Bible reveals. And he just did it for me because of the way I set up the questions. So in other words, I might follow up. It sounds like what you're saying is, if the Bible reveals one thing, then any feeling that we might think we're getting from God to do or believe a contrary thing can't be relied on. Am I understanding you correctly? Okay, now I don't see how they're going to be able to say otherwise. And then this sets up a circumstance where we can go back to the Deuteronomy, did you say 13?
13, yes.
And Galatians chapter 1 to ask the two particular questions that you pointed out. But sometimes I think what has to be addressed is their epistemic methodology, okay? How do they know something's true? And they cheat here, you know? They sometimes pretend like it's objective revelation other times, and this is the key thing to get you into their system. It is a subjective thing, and that's what I think needs to be questioned with the LDS. So for some of you are familiar, what I just offered was a Columbo game plan number 3. Here's a series of questions that enlist the other person as an ally to give you the answers to the question that lay the foundation for where you want to go. And then you just close the gate on them legitimately and show, and then now you have a much stronger position to show them that what they believe is false.
That's a great way to go about it, Greg. Thank you for that. And I just want to add one last quick thing. If you really do want to understand what they believe, I would recommend you read their book. It's called Gospel Principles. And it's a small book, and it's what they use to teach their Sunday school classes. And it goes through all of the basics of their doctrine. So that would be the best thing to get. It's called Gospel Principles. I'm sure you can find it at any LDS bookstore. Maybe it's on Amazon. If you have a friend, they'd be able to get you one. That would be the way to go. It's shorter than the Book of Mormon. And as you mentioned, Greg, the Book of Mormon doesn't have all this, all of their doctrine. So this would be a much better use of your time.
Incidentally, you can purchase it probably from Deseret Press. It's probably the one who publishes it. But just be prepared. You're going to get lots of missives from Deseret Press after that to sell you more material. That's just how marketing works.
That might be a selling point. It is for me. I love getting stuff from...
But
from the Mormons.
So. You have to pay for that, though.
Well, thank you, Tom and Drew. Thank you, Greg. And thank you, listeners. Thank you for listening, and thank you for sending us your questions. We look forward to hearing from you. This is Amy Hall and Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason.